It is good to be with you once again. I welcome you with all my heart. What is your purpose for coming here this afternoon? Ponder this. You could have gone to a good movie, and your purpose would be to enjoy the movie. You could have gone to Las Vegas. The purpose would be to gamble and win a lot of money. You could have gone to play bingo. Again, you would want to win money. We always believe as human beings, there has to be a purpose to what we do. Yet life has no purpose whatsoever. Life as it appears is purposeless. In the situation is purposeless. There is now. We come to groups like this. We have some vague idea in our mind. We wish to become liberated. We wish to become totally free, have bliss. This is very foolish. Bliss, liberation, is already your very nature. You are that. That's what you are. There's absolutely nothing you have to do to attain realization. Nothing. You do not have to practice any sadhana. You do not have to meditate. You do not have to go to meetings. There's absolutely nothing you have to do. God's grace brings liberation to you at the right time. You can be the greatest sinner, yet you can be liberated. And another person can be a great sadhana doer, meditating for 30, 40, 50 years, and nothing ever happens. When you realize these things, you come here without any purpose, without any motivation whatsoever. We always feel we have to add something to our knowledge. It is our so-called material knowledge that keeps us back from liberation. We have to empty ourselves out totally and completely, and then we will be in our true state. There's really nothing else you have to learn. There's really nothing else you have to do. When you do practice sadhana, meditation, it is only to take you out of this world for a while so you can be at peace, feel a bliss within yourself for a while, feel something that you do not have now. Yet it does not bring you all the way, it does not bring you to total liberation. Only being. Not being this or being that, but just being will finally liberate you. You probably heard the story about the lion cub who became lost in the jungle and was adopted by a herd of sheep. The lion cub grew and became mature, and so he was a sheep. And he used to say, "Ba." and travel with the other sheep. When some hyenas would come chasing them, he would run with the sheep. Then one day some other lion saw him and said, "What is this?" They took him to a pond, told him to look in the pond and see who he is. As soon as he saw himself, his entire stature changed. Something happened at that time where he lost the idea that he was a sheep and he came to himself again as a great lion of the jungle. Most of us believe we are sheep. We believe we are human and go through experiences of lack, limitation, illness, man's inhumanity to man. We think we are wealthy and healthy and strong. We are none of these things at all. If you're only aware of who you were, who you are, you are not the person in between who you were and who you are. You have always been that which always has existed. You have always been Brahman, absolute reality, pure awareness. This is your nature. This is your true self. You do not have to pray to attain this. You simply have to awaken. Awaken from the mortal dream. Does the rose have to declare its fragrance? By its very nature, you know it's a rose. We do not have to go around shouting, "I am divine, I am Brahman, I am absolute reality." We simply have to let go. Stop fighting life. Stop trying to make things happen. Your body knows what to do, yet you are not your body. It appears you are a body. It appears you have a mind. Yet none of this is true. Who are you? If you have to say, "I am absolute reality," then you are not that at all. For when I ask the question, "Who are you?" there should be total silence in your mind. You are that silence. The silence beyond words, beyond thoughts, beyond being, beyond desire. And perfect silence, the stillness, beyond the void, beyond no mind. You are that. You have always been that. There's nothing to say. There are no eloquent lectures you have to listen to. There are no profound teachings you have to accept. You have to become like a little child and just be. There's nothing holding you back. There's no force trying to stop you or do anything to you. You are like boundless space. Boundless space permeates everything and it stays itself. Never changes. You are consciousness, like boundless space. You are everywhere present. If you knew you were everywhere present, there would be absolutely nothing for you to do. There would be no purpose. What purpose would you have if you are everything right now? What can you possibly want? What can you possibly desire? Think of yourself as all-pervading. All-pervading boundless space. Pure consciousness. Can you feel it? Let go of this world right now. This world, this universe, is nothing but a superimposition on the screen of life. Do not identify with the world. Identify with the screen of life. Things come and things go. This has nothing to do with you. Leave the world alone. Do not attempt to change things. There's a mysterious power that takes care of everything. You will always be taken care of. You do not have to worry about your life. It seems strange that the more you let go, the greater the peace and happiness that comes to you. The more you try to achieve anything like peace and happiness, you have your problems, your chaos, your confusion. It comes with the so-called happiness you try to achieve. In other words, do not seek happiness. Do not seek anything. Remember, if you realize that you're omnipresent, you are everything. Always remember this. There is nothing that is lacking from you. It is your mind that causes the problems by telling you you're lacking, something is wrong, you have to correct this and fix that. Inquire, to whom does this mind come? To whom does the body come? To whom do the thoughts come? Where does I come from? Who am I? This is what you should be doing most of the day. Many of you still believe and think that your work is so important, your home life is so important, that you have no time to do these things. It makes no difference what you're doing, where you are. Always stop, catch yourself, and inquire, to whom do these thoughts come, to whom do these feelings come, to whom do these ideas come. You will find as you practice this, the thoughts become weaker and weaker until they totally disappear. You are never alone. The Absolute Reality is always with you. Pure Awareness is always with you. Everything is okay. There is nothing wrong anywhere. All is well. You are free. Feel your freedom. You are free from the confusions of your mind. free from karma, free from samskaras. Free from reincarnation. Free from God. Free from bondage. Feel that. What can hurt you now? What can possibly come to you to hurt you, to cause you pain and suffering? If you're really feeling your freedom, there's nothing else. The freedom is I am. The freedom is pure awareness. This is you. Do you feel the bliss? Do you feel the joy, the happiness? This is not a lecture you're listening to. This is the one voice of freedom. The one consciousness. The one reality. It is you. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. Thank you. May we gather together a group who would sit together for the sole purpose of sending our love to your physical body, with the desire that this love will manifest as strength, comfort, and your highest physical well-being. A group would be stronger than... in our own. Somebody wants to sit together and sense strength and power and all kinds of stuff. If you feel like doing something like this, do it. It's up to you. But remember, all is well. There are no mistakes. Nobody is anything but divine consciousness. When you use the statement, the body will take care of itself, are you including the mind, the subtle body? When I use the statement, the body will take care of itself, I mean your body as it appears will do whatever it came here to do on this planet. But you have absolutely nothing to do with it. Your body is motivated by karma, which doesn't exist. It appears to be motivated by karma. You appear to have a body. So you do not have to worry about your body or concern yourself with your body. Something will take care of it. You simply remove your mind from thinking thoughts. Keep your body still. Do not think about it too much. Keep yourself on the self. Keep yourself always asking the question, to whom do the thoughts come? To whom does the body come? To whom does the eye come? And don't concern yourself too much about your body. Everything takes care of itself. Can you detail what it looks like, the process of the I Am meditation? Is this a practice anyone can use? How does it differ from self-inquiry? We have a meditation that we use sometimes called the I Am meditation. The I Am meditation is something that we use in order to become still and one-pointed and quiet. Self-inquiry is not meditation. Self-inquiry is when you inquire, who am I? To whom does the I come? The I Am meditation is when you breathe with your respiration. You inhale and you say I, you exhale and you say I am. This is a very good tool to use at home when you feel like meditating. You become still and quiet in your body and mind. And you inhale, say I. You exhale, you say am. This makes you very quiet. Makes you very still. In order for you to go deeper and deeper into the self. Do all of these things. If we're already free, from where is coming the thought, I want to be free? The thought comes from your mind, where else? It is your mind that believes it's bound. It is your mind that believes something is wrong, but you are not free. But when you realize realize he does not have a mind, there's no one to think these thoughts. Know the truth about yourself. You are absolute reality. You have absolutely nothing to do with the mind. The thought comes, I want liberation, I want to be free. This is part of the human thinking. But if you sit in the silence and try to stop the thoughts, your freedom will arise by itself. Can one have advanced in a previous existence to a high state, but through fear drop back to another so-called lifetime? If you have self-realized, if you have been liberated, there is no lifetime for you, there is no coming or going for you, there is no dying for you, there is no being born for you. You just stay the way you've always been. And it's only when you are not realized that this happens. You can advance to a higher state. And you can drop back again, this is true. But we're not talking about realization, we're not talking about liberation. We're talking about a higher state of meditation. If you have advanced spiritually and physically on this plane, you leave your body. Depending on your karma, will determine what happens to you. You may have a lot of karma to work out. So even if you have advanced to a higher state, this is not forgotten. You take this with you. But yet you may have other karma to work out in the previous life. And the higher state is in abeyance for a while. Until you come into another life, where the higher state will manifest itself. But again, if you become totally liberated, then there's no such thing as higher states or lower states or death or birth or liberation or anything else. You stay the same in your own swarupa, in your own reality, your own nature. Pure awareness. And there's absolutely nothing you have to do any longer. Death cannot hurt you. Birth cannot hurt you. You are totally free. What value does the study of Kundalini Yoga have for this work, and how is that energy related to inquiry? Kundalini Yoga is of the mind. It is a practice of the mind, trying to make the Kundalini arise in the spine. It is a process of the mind, it's a mental condition. For whom is Kundalini? Who needs Kundalini? To one who believes they're human and are trying to make powers arise in them that are different from where they are now. In truth, you are spirit. In truth, you are Brahman. You you want to practice self-inquiry to stop the mind from thinking of Kundalini. Who needs Kundalini? It's all a mental process. Every yoga, every spiritual practice is a mental process. One that starts from the top. Ask to whom do these thoughts come, to whom do these methods come? Who has to do these things? There are many people that you realize in this world who have practiced Kundalini Yoga. They have developed certain siddhis. They have occult powers. But they're not self-realized. This is all of the mind. With these powers, you still have sadness, you have fears, you have frustrations. You have everything human beings have. But when you transcend these occult powers, you become totally free, then there's no longer any question about happiness and joy. This is your very nature. Freedom. So I suggest don't mess with your Kundalini. The thought will get you in trouble. Anyone like to say something?
Robert, when you're enlightened, does your Kundalini automatically just open up by itself?
Why does it have to open up?
No, I didn't say it had to. I'm asking you, will it do that?
There's no one left for it to do it to.
Your physical body.
The physical body doesn't exist. Even though it appears to exist, there's no physical body. It's a liberated person knows they're not a physical body. It is only the Ayani that feels there's a physical body that's completely awakened inside of them. But the realized being has no body. There's nobody home.
Well, let me ask it another way. Is your Kundalini fully open?
Where is it?
He lost it long ago.
If there was a Kundalini open, there would be no realization. Who needs a Kundalini?
Would the illusion of a body have an illusion of a Kundalini that had an illusion of rising?
Of course. So why live in the illusion? Remove the illusion once and for all and be free. Be free of all these things. Can you see this? Kundalini, siddhas, all of these things are for the body. But there's no body, and for whom are these things all? They do not exist. Only for the body do they exist.
They're all in the mind of an individual?
Yes. Kundalini has absolutely nothing to do with enlightenment. Two different classes.
Then the energy that you feel surging through your body has nothing to do with Kundalini.
The energy you feel surging through your body may be Kundalini. We're speaking of a body and energy. Again, when there's liberation, there's no one left having the energy feeling. There's no longer energy surging through your body. There's no Kundalini surging through your body. There's nothing surging anywhere. for there has to be a body for it to search through. If there's no body, how can it search? See, right now most of you believe you're a body. So you're speaking of the bodily experience. But if you knew you were not a body, those questions would never enter your mind. For there's no one left to experience these things. This is why we work on removing the idea of a body. The body is simply an idea. It's not a reality. If the body were a reality, wouldn't it stay the same forever? You would never change from a baby to a teenager to a mature person to an old person. You would stay the same forever. But since the body is nothing at all, it always changes in appearance or disappears completely. But you don't go anywhere. You stay where you are, where you've always been. You are pure awareness. You are power Brahman. Nothing good could ruin your body. Agrees with me.
Yes,
he does.
That's enough agreement.
Anyone else like to say something?
Sir, is this? Always being revealed through sages of different cultures? Is it always the same?
The truth, they color it? The truth is always the same. Different beings since the beginning of time have simply realized this. There's one reality. There's one pure awareness. And this is our real nature. So we cannot experience two different states of consciousness. There's only the one. Consequently, there have been many beings on this earth who for some reason or other have been able to experience their own reality. When you experience your own reality, you realize you are everybody and everything that's in the presence. You are one with all there is. There's not my reality and your reality. There's the one. And we are all that. All this is the self, and I am that.
So in different words, in different languages, this very revelation has been making itself known.
Of course.
Not just on an Arunachala, not just here in above Hollywood Lake.
Right. Of course. It's just like gold. You can find gold in various places, in different places in the world, but you have to dig for it and make it come out so you can have it and keep it. So it is with this. People hear this truth, they hear reality. They have to be able to dig within themselves, awaken within themselves, and become free. But it's the same realization, the same self.
But some sages may not speak as frankly as you do about it. To the other people in their culture.
It depends what place they're coming from. depending on their karma, their training, who they're concerned. If someone is called a sage, it means they've transcended their body faulty and completely, they've transcended the world. This is the meaning of a real sage. When they've transcended the world, they become the self, the absolute reality. When they're the self, the absolute reality, they know so does everyone else and anything else. They're not so unique. They're simply that, which is the substratum of all existence. Or they're like the screen, and the universe is like images on the screen. The images change constantly, but the screen remains the same. If the images cover the screen, if you try to grab the images, you grab the screen, there are no images. They never existed. Again, it's like a water in a mirage. You see a mirage with water, and you try to grab the water, you grab sand. Like the snake in the rope. Like the sky is blue. There's no sky, there's no blue. But it appears that way. So we appear as human beings. We appear as individuals. But it's an illusion, it's a dream. The world does not exist, it never existed at all. There is no universe. It's an optical illusion. Therefore, when the sage awakens, he speaks in terms of absolute truth, because that's all there is.
Or he might maintain silence and just let the images continue to appear in people's
yes.
minds, that he's a priest or that he's a politician.
True, this is possible. You can be anything, it makes no difference. Be a garbage man. But you're aware that you're not the body or the garbage. Would you like to read the ending?
Oh, yeah, alright. For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Mama.
Do we have any announcements?
Mm-hmm. No, Robert, I don't know.
I'd like to remind people that there's a box full of transcripts over there and where to borrow and make copies of and bring back. They're starting to disappear again. That library is, anybody can help yourself, just take them home and make a copy of them, or make two copies if you like, and bring them back. They're available to everybody. If anybody wants to get a few numbers and bring in a copy from their supply at home, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Bring the supply back up.
We have prasad, delicious cookies. As I always say, the entire lesson of the prasad, eat the prasad and you'll be liberated. And we have a bowl of chilies.
What do you say, hokey pokey?
Is that what life is?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll start over. Oh, okay. Thank you.